Yeah, so
So
first of all,
maybe you want to introduce the meeting. Welcome. Today is.
Yeah, guys, hi. This is the requirements subcommittee meeting. We have quite a lot of topics on the agenda for today. The first one is to review a revised set of EUAG requirements. The reason for revision was a submission of additional requirements by China Mobile. And so we have a version with China Mobile requirements, I think, and then we have a version with a consolidated set of all of the requirements by all of the service providers. In addition to that, they let us know that basically they are also waiting for at least input for AT&T, which should follow. So I guess we will see those once we get them. Just, you know, don't expect for too much in terms of new things we are going to see, because basically it's just, you know, some emphasis on something, but basically all of the things we've seen last time, they haven't been changed significantly. So as we know, intent framework and intent modeling for key functional, key services, slicing, intelligent application, support for vertical industry. I think the major part which is requested for Nauru release is indeed the support for vertical industry, relatively new that we haven't seen before explicitly, and the automatic testing platform, a certification test, OVP, and so on. So going into a different groups for priority one, for key function, intent framework, and intent modeling. We know what it is. They've been presented it as well also before for key service support for vertical industry scenarios. So the scenarios they ask to support to be and to see business and consumer network at the same time, in which to be network and to see industry network share part of network resources, such as slicing. So this is the scenario that they require to support, and then support multiple 2B network, and 2B network to refer to the enterprise private network established by operators for vertical industry. So basically this is the service provided by the service provider to the vertical in terms of public private network, and I guess slicing can also be applicable here. Now for priority three, automatic testing platform. Also, we know this requirement, not new, but perhaps emphasize that, you know, we need to concentrate on it also for release eight. And 5G network slicing and intelligent applications. So RAN slicing interaction with NSMF specifically for endpoint and slice profiles. Use of A1 interface, which is defined by ORM for closed loop and machine learning. Now, transport network slicing, endpoint-based transport and NSSI selection, the use of existing TNSSI, the core slicing configuration of core slice network, subnet. Those requirements also closed loop and intelligent slicing. So that summarizes the priorities as submitted by China Mobile with the revision of those priorities. And now we will look into the consolidated set of all of the priorities submitted by AUG up to now. By the way, we had a related discussion on the last TC meeting on Thursday. So I reported that we do not see, let's say, things to deprioritize, because basically everything submitted was by priority of AUG. And that was also communicated in the meeting minutes of TST meeting. We will get to that shortly. So for the overall consolidated set of the priorities, it's about closed loop enhancement, platform maturity, documentation, platform modularity, and standard organization alignment and external harmonization. Those are sets of the requirements which are defined as priority. Here we have, I think, for a different, service provider, so I'll skip this. We've already revised this, China Mobile, Orange, review that team. requirements. This is not new. The only new, as I said, we've seen is revised one coming from China model. Now, this is the normalized top priorities as defined in overall for on a low release. So again, for priority number one, platform maturity, robustness, and refactoring, operational simplicity. Priority number two, VNF validation, OVP standardization round, VNF validation, all those things, CT, and all those things that have been running for a while, but they will remain and become also the functionalities of release 8. One thing for I actually asked to change it, but CMTT is not any longer under GSMA. It is really now under OpenFV, but still the functionality remains the same. Documentation from user and user perspective, bring documentation up to date, primary focus on end user systems, availability and easy access, access of documents, and platform modularity, plug and play, SDO alignment. There are quite a lot of requirements submitted for SSL interfaces by Verizon, so we can clearly see it here, but also TMF, MF interfaces, the workflow well-defined with API, and so on. So those are priorities. As you can see, nothing has changed significantly. Still, the use cases to concentrate on 5G Mac, I would say that perhaps a little bit of emphasis on the same 5G Mac, but with the involvement of the vertical industry. So this is what we can see from what was submitted. Now, what? Any questions so far? If no question, let me move to the TC meeting, the last TC meeting that we had, actually, and we started to discuss during that TC meeting, we started to discuss the Honolulu requirements. Let me just, yes, it is here. Can you see my screen right now?
Yes, we can see.
Guys? Okay, so basically what was marked before the TC meeting is that use cases of slicing, of SON, or an alignment, all those were defined as the use cases and the recommendation was no go. So what I corrected during the TC meeting is that those are not a new use cases, rather, you know, using a wording of use cases, but those rather compose sets of requirements that have been submitted, so that no-go recommendation have been removed from the TC meeting summary. Now, what is still missing, it is still okay according to timeline, but requirements owners must, you know, must complete those things. On a Honolulu impact view per component, you can see here a link, Honolulu impact view per component. And so for each one of the requirements that has to be filled, still it is not that the deadline has passed, but this is something that requirements owners need to start filling. Somehow my view disappeared. Okay, seem to come back. Now, the agreement also was that regarding the timeline, that we do not accept any new requirements coming from after October 16, as was communicated before, but Guilin requirements leftovers will be accepted. So this is extremely relevant for those Guilin requirements that will eventually not make it into Guilin. Guys, you can still submit those for Honolulu. For non-functional requirements, and that has been the key issue we've been facing, is that we do not have yet many company commitments or individual commitments for those. We have only a few, really a few committed, mostly coming from SecCom. And really, that has to be filled in. Guys, please take it back into your companies if you can discuss and see which non-functional requirements additionally you can support. That's it, I guess. Those were the key things. We also reviewed EUHG priorities during the TSC meetings briefly, but this is kind of summarized the status up until now. And I was also asked during the TSC meeting to kind of to speak with the requirements subcommittee and to see indeed that all of the requirements, you know, the companies, the involved companies table is marked, but also that you discuss the requirements with all the projects, that so you make sure that basically they are getting into the release. And then again, to emphasize that the requirements which are leftovers from Guilin and did not make it into Guilin can still be brought to Honolulu. Are there any questions? Okay, so if not, I've been approached by the several, I'll stop sharing. This is what I wanted to share now. I've been approached by several requirements owners to present either the revised or recently submitted requirements, which also coming from Honolulu, and one POC, which was part of Release 7. So Chen, perhaps you start from what you have. We have you, we have Lukas, I think, to present, right?
Yes, sorry. I was on mute, yes, to present also the CNF.
Is there anyone additional on the call wishing to present? Lei, I did not know that you will be attending, so I've already presented the priorities, I guess, on your behalf. Okay.
Hi, Alan.
Hi.
This is Yao Guang from Huawei, and I think you mentioned two requirements in your EUAG site, and here Lei Huang from China Mobile. We will present two new requirements into Honolulu release. One is support for vertical, and I think Huang or Huang Lei will present that. And I want to present the intent framework.
Okay, so let's start the presentation. Let's keep in mind that we have around 45 minutes for all of the presentation. So please, guys, let's keep it short. So let's start, Huan Chen. So perhaps let's start with your presentation.
Okay, I can share my screen. Yeah.
Yes.
But I'm forbidden by the host, so I don't have a priority. So.
Ben, we need your help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Huang Cheng, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. You should be able to now.
Yeah, it's okay now. Can you see my screen now?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. The title of this presentation is Guilin IBM POC, a vertical industry use case. And this is-
Hi, sorry to interrupt you. I think we should talk about the Honolulu release requirements first. Yeah.
Well, we can start from Honolulu if you're afraid we won't have much time. Huan Chen wanted to present what was achieved under POC in Guilin, but we can also start from Honolulu. So let's,
Yes, we can start with Honolulu, yeah.
Okay, so please then.
Okay. In Honolulu, we work with CMCC and we proposed two requirements. The first one is support for the vertical industry. The second one is inter framework and inter modeling in R8. This is an introduction about support for the vertical industries, because we think vertical industries is one of the greatest potential 5G market. And unlike the traditional 2C scenarios, we think ONAP, to support the vertical industry network, ONAP should provide some OM capabilities for multiple vertical industry consumers. And this requirement proposed to help operator to manage multiple industry networks using ONAP. And in the R8, it contains two scenarios. And in this slide, we will give you some detailed description about the scenarios we want to discuss in the R8, because we think ONAP supporting for the virtual industry has two typical scenarios. Scenario A, one operator ONAP will manage multiple vertical industry networkers. And this scenario is for some vertical industry with medium or large size. And they may want operator to help them build the separate vertical industry network and provide the OM service for them. And this is a scenario B. And scenario B is for some vertical industry, some small size vertical industries. And they may rely on the operator network. They will share the network resources with operator. And they also want operator ONAP can provide the OM service for them. This is two scenario. And in this slide, we will give you some information about what we're gonna do in the R8. First, we will design the tenant management and isolation for the vertical industries. We will first enhance the AI schema for the vertical industry tenant. It will including base tenant profile. And we also want to provide the isolate resources management for different vertical industry tenant. And also for the shared potential resources between operator and the vertical industry network. And we will also implement the permission control for the different vertical industry tenant by using the multi-tenants in the ONAP. This is one use case already existed from R6, I think. Okay, and then we will provide some use case in the UI for different vertical industry tenant, allow them to access their own data, including resources and necessary configuration informations. And we will also enhance the North Band interface than some external API framework for the OM capability exposed. And also enhance some service instantiation procedure with tenant info and necessary vertical industry area info, like specified location informations. And in the R8, we will have POC demos to show how the ONAP support for the vertical industry scenario A. In this demo, operator will instantiate a different service for two different vertical tenants and create some NIM configuration for them. And also the tenant are expected to access their own resources from the UI we design. And that's the info about the first requirement ONAP for vertical industry. And Yao Guang, you can introduce the next requirement.
Sure. So Anna, and any question for this first requirement?
No, that's fine.
Okay. So let me continue the second one. Or Honle, do you want to share this proposal or?
Think you can help me to present this part. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. The second one is limit intent framework and the intent modeling. Okay, in our ingredient release, we bring the intent technology as a proof of concept. Here is a requirement ID. You can see the requires 3-2 line. And it can be viewed as one of the most promising solution towards the autonomous network. So this requirement in Honolulu is proposed to enhance the online with a general purpose intent framework, and which may contain several network several functionalities, and we will introduce it later. So let's go to the second next slide. Yeah, we want to propose a new standalone project. The name is Intent Framework. And we think this intent framework is a system which helps to implement and operate networks that can improve network availability and agility. It takes a high-level business goal as input and translate it into network operations or network configurations. And then they are applied to the network via network automation and orchestration. And also it can monitor the status of the network and do some control or validation until the intent is met. So here you can see the architecture draft in this picture. And the yellow one is the some models of the intent framework. And you can see the out of this intent framework box is intent user interface. And this intent UI was proposed to online UI project. It was proposed by China Telecom and it's a separate requirement. But in this requirement, want to propose the intent framework is another requirement, which may contain several sub-models, such as the intent management, and it will handle the northbound user interface. And the second one is intent translation. It will translate the intent provided by user and into the decisions, into several solutions. And another, the third sub-models is intent decision and execution. It will decide which solution will be best and selected. And then this solution will be applied to the network. And it may be an orchestration request to the on-app service orchestrator or the configuration operations to the controllers. And also it may be a sub-intent to the another intent framework. Another intent framework may be the node-level ones. Yeah, and this is the whole picture of this intent framework. Yes. Any question for this picture?
Guys, are there any questions?
So how does somebody, essentially you're saying the system guesses or anticipates what a user wants to do in order to help them, right? Can you say a little bit more about how the system figures that out?
I think you mentioned the use case, right? I don't know if we view this intent framework as a general purpose framework. It can be applied to multiple use case. Can you go? I can give you one more details on the slicing use case. Can you give me that? Let me share the screen.
Okay.
Oh, I will. Forbidden to.
Yeah.
Oh, who?
Hi, Ben.
Yao Guang? Is it Yao Guang?
Yao Guang.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can show you another slide. How to. Can you see my slide?
Yeah.
Actually, we want to show a demo before the Honolulu requirement, but it's okay. I will show you what I introduced first. And here is the functional blocks. And I think the Ben is asked about how to use this intent framework, right?
Yeah. Or well, how does my not necessarily how to use it, but how does it know if I understand this right, how does it know what you're trying to do? You know, like how does it anticipate what you're trying to do?
In Honolulu, we want to introduce this the whole picture and the four function blocks and it and their functionalities, and we want to use the slicing use case to demonstrate the intent framework.
Yaoguang, do you think if I present the POC demo can help them to understand how it works?
Yeah, it's another use case. So
yes, we have one POC demo for the R7s, and it has one use case and also has a video, a screenshot videos. So maybe we can, when Yaoguang finish introduce what they're gonna do for about IBM in the IT, we can present the POC demo for people to have a better understanding about these whole things.
Yes, Ben. In Honolulu, we want to introduce this framework and also the functionalities. Also, we will demonstrate this slicing use case using this intent framework.
And I also want to add one more thing. And Ben, as you can see from this page, we have draw workflow for this diagram. And you can see that the UUI will send the user's intent to intent framework. After that, the intent management will call the intent translation to do the translation work. So that is what the process of this framework, how they can translate the user's intent and what is they figure out.
I see. When you send the intent, that gives you a guideline of what you're trying to achieve. And then that's translated by the intent framework into things that the system can do. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, yeah.
I see.
They will based on the translation to do the decision and also the execution.
Okay, so you know, my question more basically was, you know, how does the system figure out what a user's trying to do in order to help them? And, you know, because the English word intent means that I anticipate what you're trying to do and I guess your intentions, right? I can guess what you're trying to do. And I think when you send the intent request, that is the user, that's essentially a user saying, this is what I'm trying to accomplish, right?
Yeah, and from my perspective, I think that because I have reviewed the demo at, previously, I think their intent are more likely like language or natural language we have used in our daily life.
I see.
Is that wrong?
I think this is what also something that they presented in the past, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Huancheng, I think if Huancheng can help to, if we have time to that Huancheng to present this demo, I think we can explain this whole process.
That would really be good, you know, if it started from that, but let's indeed finish the Honolulu release requirements. Hopefully we'll have time. If not, then 2 weeks from now, but let's try first to indeed cover release 8.
It's okay. We can first finish the Honolulu requirement. I only need 6 or 7 minutes can present the whole thing. Yeah.
We also have Lukas' presentation.
Yeah, we can do it later after we finish the Honolulu part.
Okay.
So let's move on to the requirements in Honolulu. And in this release, I say we want to introduce this architecture type and do some reference definition. And also we are to clarify the external interface to other online components as in the UUIs, SO and CDS. also the ANA and the CPS, and you can see the in previous the demo in Guinea release. So we do some work on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And also we will want to discuss the intent modeling to give some concrete intent data model for specific use cases. Yeah, here is one use case for slicing, and we were Huang will show a demo for a vertical industry use case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you discussed it with the projects already? Have you started discussing with the different projects? What you plan to implement in Honolulu?
Yeah, we just sent the slides to you and Catherine in TS meeting last week. We think maybe a POC in Honolulu. Yeah.
Understood. Okay.
Mm. That's all. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's then. Yes, that's fine. So let's then now move to Lukasz's presentation.
Okay. Can I share?
Same procedure. Ben, we need your help.
Yeah.
In advance, I need to say sorry, I can be coughing a bit. So just in case, don't be surprised. Okay, can you see my screen?
Yes, yes.
So I will try to present briefly the overview of the continuation of the requirement 341. That is 458 in Honolulu release. It was changed to this number from technical reasons, but in fact we wanted to keep the original number. However, just to make less mess in the JIRA, we decided to apply the new ID.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So this is in particular completely the same requirement and the same assumptions. So we want to make ONAP or rather the CNFs in ONAP fully standard citizen in the sense that we want to make orchestrator really understanding the CNF, and we want to support native orchestration of Helm packages in order to enable later on day two operations, updates of the information into the model of ONAP inventory and so on and so on. In order to at the end have possibility for joint orchestration of the VNFs, PNFs and the CNFs with the same tool. As you know, there is also ongoing work around the CNF support in the ETSI track. So we would like to make these paths joint in some sense, at least in the orchestrator. So from the onboarding perspective, both are based on the association of the Helm package with the onboarding descriptor in the ETSI. This is the Tosca one. In our case, this is the standard VSP onboarding package, like for the HIT templates. In our case, this is the Helm package instead. And what is the challenge we have is that we want to have joint ANTI model for the CNFs. The step that we did in Gulin is to introduce the Helm orchestration natively into the orchestrator, what enables later on the synchronization of the information into the ANTI inventory by SO. So we have enabled that, but this is just the beginning. In order to do further things, we need to have still some improvements. So just to summarize, this is the current flow which we support in ONAP Guilin. What has appeared is that in the SDC component, we can onboard natively Helm packages. Before, we required the heat templates associated with that. As a consequence, the orchestrator can natively orchestrate Helm packages. Before, it was a kind of hack when the orchestrator was doing heat orchestration with the associated Helm packages. All you know, at the end, there is a new component, CNF adapter, KTS adapter, which interacts with the KTS plugin, which directly interacts with the KTS cluster. So this is the Guilin stage, but this is, let's say, not completed. So we continue the work to enable native day two operations. And for that, we want to start some first synchronization of the data between the orchestrator and ANTI about the CNFs. What is missing in Guilin? Also, we want to continue the improvements in the orchestration of the Helm package natively. And for that, further changes will be required in the SO. Also, in terms of the distribution of the Helm packages, let's say ONAP was really distributing mainly heat templates apart from the ETSA and, or TOSCA onboarding packages. So the introduction of the new type, which is the Helm, the new main type, which is Helm, was too challenging, I would say, because of many hard-coded things for the heat templates. So we need to continue the adaptation of the SDC for native Helm support, including also such things like, for instance, the validation of the Helm package, or in general improvements in the SDC for the understanding of different types of the artifacts. So we will be doing that. And last but not least, we want to add some functionalities to the plugin and the Controller Design Studio to support day two operations, let's say more natively. So like I said, let's say this is the way how we transform the Helm package in the Guilin. And this transformation is focused on the day zero and one. So for the instantiation of the CNF itself, the further transformation of the Helm package requires adding some special things required for the day two operations. All of that, this is the so-called enrichment of the Helm package, where we can provide some override parameters for the Helm package, or we can modify the Helm templates Helm package by the dedicated templates for concrete CNF instance based on the same Helm package. And also we want to leverage the capability of the configuration templates, which exist today in the KTS plugin, in order to allow for the templating of the configuration changes, and all of that with help of the CDS and the CBA package capabilities. We also want to introduce some two separate on-demand health check operation and background health check operation in the SO. In fact, workflows, both based on the initial information about the CNF, which will be present in the inventory. And the first on-demand health check will allow to check the status of the deployed CNF or just after the instantiation or before the execution of some other workflows. The background health check, its purpose is to monitor in the background the current state of the CNF. Both functionalities should perhaps use the capabilities of the CNF status monitoring of the KTS plugin. And also we would like to experiment with the Prometheus deployed on the KTS cluster, which can deliver some extra metrics about the CNF performance. What is good that the metrics exposed by the Prometheus are in the form of the custom resource definition CRD, so a kind of object which can be also read through the status API of the plugin. So all in all, we can use the same functionality of the plugin to read or the status of the resources deployed from the help package or those provided by the Prometheus. So the current problem with the CNF help check is that today for the VNFs, we were doing this operation over SSH commands, netconf operations, restconf operations, Ansible playbooks and other things similar to that. For the CNFs, we would like to rather propose some Kubernetes native mechanism to do that. So in fact, we would like to split the help check operation into two phases. First one is this status-based basic help check, which will be checking what is the status of the KTS resources deployed on the KTS cluster based on the information provided by the KTS cluster itself. And the second one is the execution of the dedicated help check jobs, native KTS help check jobs, which will be deployed on demand, and the status of the execution would be read by the orchestrator and over the plugin. This dedicated job will allow to perform some more advanced health check operations, some concrete test cases. And how will look such operation will depend really on the concrete use case. But we will have, thanks to that, a lot of different possibilities and the ways how we can test our CNF will be quite broad. Here is the summary of more or less what I said about our plans for the Honolulu. So maybe I will not repeat what I said. That's more or less the summary of this. So many components would be impacted. In fact, the same was also for Guilin. That's why we have to split the implementation into the several releases, and I believe Honolulu will not be the only one. And we are not sure if there will be a coverage in terms of the resources for all the features that we would like to introduce in Honolulu. So let's see. And we have already several partners, but the scope, the concrete details about the scope are still not yet known very much. So if there will be too much to do for the particular functionalities, maybe we will shift them for the Istanbul release. So we will see. Okay, so do you have some questions to this presentation?
Guys, any questions?
Yeah, Lucas, I have a question. For the CNF onboarding, are you going to create a separate resource type in the AID model or?
Well, today we have already in Guilin introduced a separate artifact type, which is the Helm artifact, right? This is a separate new artifact type, right? Which is distributed to the SO. So this is already present in Guilin, if you ask about this.
Yeah, but when you say artifact type, it's just the Helm chart as an artifact type, right? But
yes,
for the descriptor,
yes.
Is that the descriptor is still VNF descriptor?
Well, maybe not good question for me because I was not the one implementing that. We do something similar to the VSP package for the VNFs and the HIT templates. So the implementation is similar and the package is similar to the HIT one. So this is not something similar to the Tosca onboarding package. But if this is the same what the VNF one is, I can't tell you, frankly speaking,
okay.
Because I don't know the details.
So from the modeling perspective, it's still a VF modeling with a Helm chart.
In terms of the model, we leverage everywhere in the service orchestrator the VNF model so far, right? So for the purpose of the real CNF model, let's say implementation or use, we can't hear on the joint work with the ETSI CNF working group, right? But this work, let's say, starts in the Honolulu release. So for the Honolulu from our side, we want to provide some extensions to the VNF model for the CNF ones. For our CNS support, and I believe perhaps from the Istanbul, we can start to switch to the maybe new, completely new model for the CNS, dedicated for the CNS. But in general, there are so many things to implement on in the ESO side if we think about a really separate orchestration, separate from the VNFs, then it's very, very challenging in terms of the several releases. So that's why we do it step by step.
Okay, I understand the long-term goal, but I'm just wondering in the current implementation in SO.
So the current implementation is VNF based. However, we have, let's say, based on the artifact type, which is the main one from the distribution package, we distinguish if this is the VNF orchestrator through the OpenStack adapter or the CNF orchestrator through the CNF adapter.
Okay. So check the artifacts.
Yes, we check the artifacts or in fact, what is behind the concrete VF module, in fact, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the distinguisher for us, which path to follow.
Okay. Another question is that in your health check, you have the background health check. Is that the policy based?
Yeah, the idea is to do this policy based and DCI based background health check operation. But let's say this is a kind of stretch goal for us. We are not sure if we'll be able to work on this because we, for that, required some partner which has not taken a decision final to be involved in the Honolulu. So let's see. For sure, we want to do the on-demand health check operation.
Okay.
One thing which I haven't mentioned yet, maybe I forgot about this, is that we plan, we think about the integration of the second version of the KTS plugin, which is much broader and delivers much more functionality than the current version one of the plugin which we utilize. However, the V2 version two of the KTS plugin is very complex and much more. Includes much more components. So what we start from, we start from the inclusion of the version 2 of the plugin into the OM. And once this will be done, we will be, let's say, employing this functionality into the service orchestrator. So I believe that the V2 will appear in the OM in Honolulu. However, we will utilize it in Istanbul. That's what we plan, in fact.
Okay, so sorry, I just have one more question. Is that in your the CDS configuration, you mentioned that the day one, day two things. Is that the CNF special or is that just configurations?
No, this is this native configuration support is CNF special because we want to utilize in here the functionality of the KTS plugin, which allows for the reconfiguration of the KTS resources in a CNF specific or KTS specific way. So we want to include into the blueprint processor some native mechanism for the interaction with the KTS plugin for the purpose of the configuration, right? So this is something here specific for the CNS.
It's specific for CNF where you need the day two configuration? Is that my question is more like is that the day one configuration is not good enough or?
Well, day two is post instantiation. We can have many reasons why to do post instantiation configuration. So day two is post instantiation configuration. Let's say we want to reconfigure our CNF for some reason, and day two is for this.
I understand that part, but what I say is that it's a day two configuration is more like a general configuration, reconfiguration requirement for any XNF. it's not only CNF specific. So that, but you're showing that the day two configuration in your slides. My question is there any particular requirement for CNF where you need day two other than other XNF?
Well, I don't see. Here we talk about just the capabilities of the platform or how the platform allows to perform this reconfiguration. And here we just want to implement in the CDS some mechanism for the interaction with the plugin for the execution of the reconfiguration operation on the CNF, what is not possible today, let's say, in an easy way. In end-to-end slicing use case, they demonstrate the way how to perform this operation on the CNFs. However, they need to do in the very developer specific way. We want to make it native in this sense that the company that will be implementing the CDS onboarding package, the CBE package, will not have to spend so much developer effort to prepare this mechanism. So there will be some native mechanism existing in the CDS for that, which will allow to use it more smoothly.
Okay,
but
thanks.
This is nothing really specific, different than the other PNFs or the VNFs.
Perhaps this is something to highlight because indeed on the slide you mentioned explicitly CNF, so there might be an impression that for the two configuration you need something specific for CNF rather than, you know.
No, here is just this is just enabler for the CNF in here and nothing beyond that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Lukasz. Guys, have we finished Honolulu release presentation, those who wanted to present today? I guess we are. Now there is a tough decision. We have 5 minutes. So would it be sufficient to present release 7 in 10 base requirements, or you prefer to move? Because if you can present quickly, we probably can squeeze it now into the rest of the session. So what is your preference?
I think I can try to present it.
Okay,
let's do it very quickly. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. So please present.
Yeah. Can you see my screen now?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay. So the title of this presentation is Grading IBM POC, a Vertical Industry Use Case. This is agenda. We will first give you some background information. Then we will give you the detailed information about this POC demo. It has 4 steps: business inter input and translation, network inter load and translation, and evoke the corresponding ONAP operation and the inter implementation complete. And then we will do some summary about these demos. Okay, this is the background information and blah, 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 blah. To save some time, I will not read it. And in the R7, Inter Technologies was proposed as a proof of concept. And so in this POC demo, we will present how the ONAP with Inter Technology can support the warehouse management industries to manage their 5G network according to their business need, according to their business inter. And this is scenario descriptions. We have one warehouse vertical industry in the cities, and it has a warehouse, one warehouse here, and it's a smart warehouse. It has 2 base stations here, and to support the connection between IGVs and the 5G network. The ITV is used to transport the goods and the product or the products. And each base station will pre-configure 3 cells. Like in the base station 1, it has 3 cells. 2 of them are active and 1 is inactive. In the base station 2, 1 is active and 2 are inactive. So at the normal time, the output volume of the warehouse F is about 3,600 powers. So it requires about AGVs, about 300 AGVs, and it needs 3 active cells to support the connections. At the peak time, the output volume of warehouse is about 40,000 powers. It will require 400 active AGVs and 4 cells. So that means this vertical industry needs to adjust the network according to the required output volume. And Okay, this is a description about the scenarios. And the first step is business inquiry input and translations. The warehouse manager, they can input the business inquiry like, I want to increase output volume to 40,000 powers. And the business inter will be input into this inter framework. This inter framework will input the business mode from a vertical industry, a business system. It will translate this business inter into the network inter based on the business models. Like you want to increase output volume. And that means you will need more AGVs. And that means your network should support more UEs. So it will translate the business inter into a network inter and input this network inter into ONAP. And it will do a post request, input this network inter into the ONAP. When the IBM inside the ONAP receives this network inter, it will first query some info from AAI and the CMDBs, some info about resources, some info about the configuration information about the current network. And based on the queried infos, it will translate this network inter into the corresponding operations. Like, okay, you need to support more UEs, and you have two PAF, you have three active cell and three inactive cell. So in this case, to support 400 UEs, we need one more active cells. And to achieve this purpose, we will send a RESTful request to the CCSDK to invoke the configure modify operation to active the cells, which is not active. And to active the cells in the EMS, and then when we active the cell, the EMS will update the cell status in the CMDBs. So the whole business, the inter is implemented completely. And okay, we also have a video demos.
We do not have much time for demo, perhaps, but I think that for the requirements themselves, so that is, yeah, because we already kind of a minute past. If you wish to present demo, perhaps we can schedule it for the next meeting. Let's chat before the next meeting. If you indeed available, then we can see your demo during the next meeting in 2 weeks. So let's chat by emails before the next meeting. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Then talk to you in. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.